The Supreme Personality is never under the time factor. This is the first point I want to discuss in our ongoing discussion of time as understood through the Vedic perspective, and also bringing in perspectives from Western philosophy and science. This is all under the rubric of the discussion of Vishnu Sahasranam, name 897, Sanat. So Krishna says, Kalosmi, time I am. Or it could be translated, death I am, but particularly death. The word Kala means death. It's one of the meanings of the word Kala, but generally it's used in the to mean time. And it's also used as death because death is, in one sense, synonymous with time. Time causes the death of all living beings. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is time. So it is ridiculous to think that he's under the control of time. Maybe not so ridiculous if we take an objective view. If we don't take a Shastric view, if we don't see through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, if we see objectively as Kamsa saw and Shishupal saw and so many other demoniac people who are present on the earth at the same time as Krishna, as they saw, Krishna is another living being moving in the world. And if everyone is under the control of time, which even the demons in their more thoughtful moments, at least the demons who are described in the Puranas, even they will admit that everyone's under the control of time. But then they say, well, Krishna must be also, because he's also in this world, and this world runs on time. There are days and times of day and weeks and fortnights and months and years and eons. So if anyone is in this world, they must be under the influence of time. Krishna also acts according to time. We have, particularly in our Gaudiya sadhana, spiritual process of meditation upon Krishna's Ashtakaliya Lila, the pastimes that he performs according to the eight divisions of the day in Vrindavan. So Krishna, he's also under time. No, he is time. He can act within time by his inconceivable potencies. He comes as if within time, but he's always above it. Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti sto pitad gunai na yujyate sadatmastaihi. The very symptom of him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that even though he comes within the material world, the world of the three modes of material nature, he's never under the control of the three modes of nature. And of course, the three modes of nature, they start to get generated at the time of creation, and they continue to act, being influenced and impelled and activated and energized and facilitated by time. But Krishna is not under time. Here is a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text Number 11. Shukadev speaks to Parikshit. First word in this verse is kalam. Kalang charantam srijati sha ashrayam pradhana pumbhyam naradeva satyakrit. O King Naradeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality is never under the time factor, nor under the material energy. Here it says, he creates the time factor, and that's exactly the Sanskrit word, srijati, he creates. In this context, because we have to understand in context, it's understood that he activates the time factor at the time of creation of the material cosmos. So it's, it comes from him, it's his creation. So how can it be under its control? Well, we may say that, yeah, well, sometimes humans create things and they come under the control of it. There's the story of Frankenstein, a created monster who was out of control. There are great fears at the present time that technology, artificial intelligence especially, is going so far ahead that it's getting out of human control and it may start to control us. So it might be possible that the creations of man go out of his control. Actually, he doesn't create anything. You could say that, well, we could create some chemical reaction. Fiddling about in the laboratories, we could make some reaction that we don't know what's going to happen, and it could just go completely out of control. But it's not like that for Krishna. He's the supreme controller. Everything's under his control. That is accepted axiomatically. If there is God, it means he's the supreme controller. Here's an extract from Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. One should not think that the Lord is dependent on the time factor. He actually creates the situation by which material nature acts and by which the conditioned soul is placed under material nature. We could add to this here, although Srila Prabhupada doesn't do so at this point, that he makes the manifestation of time so that he can act within it for his pastime. Not that he's under the control of it. It's narto nartyadharo yata. He appears like an actor on a stage. So if the director of a play organizes everything within the play and personally makes an appearance in the play, that doesn't mean that he's actually under control. It might appear like that. In the drama, he might appear like a slave, but he's not. He's the director. And he tells the person who's acting as the slave's master how to act his part. So it's a great mistake to think that Krishna is under the control of time. Continuing the extract from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Both the conditioned soul and the material nature act within the time factor, but the Lord is not subject to the actions and reactions of time, for time has been created by him. Creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all under the supreme will of the Lord. So creation, maintenance, and annihilation, they all take place within time. Creation and destruction, they take place at different times. Well, especially if we're talking about macro bodies, such as the whole universal manifestation, or the human body, there's a time for its birth and a time for its death. But at the micro level, at the level of the cells, which we see through microscopes, creation and destruction go on at the same time. Part of the human body, it's being regenerated as we eat, as we breathe, And at the same time, degeneration is going on and waste is expelled. And on the macro level, there's a time for everything. And we'll discuss that also from the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything. That'll come up later. From Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 31. Everything exists in time. Okay, seems like a pretty axiomatic statement. Not all philosophers agree with that, because that's what philosophers do. They try to find something to disagree with, even if it seems absolutely axiomatic. The job of a philosopher, at least as it's taken to mean in the present Western secular ethos, is a philosopher who doesn't accept any statement at face value and challenges it. So everything exists in time. Yet there are different phases of the time factor: present, past, and future. Interestingly, Srila Prabhupada puts present first here. Now, here's quite a statement. Present, past, and future are one. Einstein would say that. We'll get through to Einstein a little later. Every day we can experience the time factor as morning, noon, and evening, and although morning is different from noon, which is different from evening, all of them taken together are one. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying that present, past, and future are one. Then he's saying that they're different. The morning is different from the noon, which is different from the evening. But all of them taken together are one. The time factor is the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that sense, they're all one. They're all part of the time factor. But the Lord is separate from the time factor. That's the point. Continuing, everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by time, but the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, has no beginning and no end. He is Nitya Shashvata, eternal and permanent. Everything passes through times, phases of present, past, and future, yet the Lord is always the same. So for Krishna, present, past, future, it's all the same to him. And there's a reason for that, which again we'll get through to a little later. Bali Maharaj, we'll find him stating, as recorded in Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 21, Text 22. He says, no one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Let's examine this a bit. There are various means to try to counteract that which is unfavorable to us. By getting material power, say political power, one tries to make a situation where one's enemies are subdued. By the council of ministers, one can have very good ministers, very good advisors, but when your time is up, you have to die. You can have very good advisors or ministers, but fate is very strong. Sometimes the minister, the wise minister will advise, don't try to counteract this. There's nothing to counteract this situation. You just have to accept that you're in a very bad situation. Run away, leave your kingdom, they may say. By intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras. Mantras can be very powerful, but if the fate is so strong, you can't counteract it. Very powerful mystics and yogis, by mantras, they can change the situation. But sometimes even the most powerful mystic, they cannot control the situation by any means. And a great example of this is, in here we have a quote from Bali Maharaj. His great minister, Shukracharya, by Brahma Teja, by spiritual, what shall we call, spiritual material power, by mystic material power, had upside down, is there such a word, turned upside down, the cosmic order, such that Bali Maharaj, the head of the demons, was able to overthrow the demigods and take the position of the kingdom of heaven. But when Vamana Deva, so it's by his tremendous brahminical power that Shukra, and by Bali Maharaj's being a faithful follower of Shukra, that Bali Maharaj was able to become so powerful that he overthrew the demigods. But when Vamana Deva came, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Shukra, he couldn't do anything. He tried to counsel Bali, but Bali wouldn't cooperate with him for very good reasons. And Shukra just had to accept that everything that we've been working for all this time, well, it's gone against the will of God. And he's come personally to upset all our plans, and there's nothing we can do. By drugs, by powerful drugs or herbs, an expert physician can counteract terrible diseases, but when your time is up, nothing you can do. When your destiny is such, the writing is on the wall, the writing is on your forehead, or when it's not your time to die, you can come so close to death, and it just seems you should die, and there are many instances. I was just sent 2 or 3 days ago a 5-minute news clip of to illustrate the point that when it's not your time to die, you're not going to die. So someone's skiing and then he has an accident and falls head down into the snow, and only his legs, one leg is sticking up, and it's an impossible situation. Looks like he has to die, but someone else comes up behind him, shortly behind, unknown person to him, and has the right equipment to dig him out, has the training to dig him out, and digs him out. So it wasn't his time to die. I've seen like this also. There was a video of a young man who was surfing somewhere on the west coast of America, and he was attacked by a shark, and it severely savaged, and somehow he got out alive with his whole body completely gashed, but he survived, and he recovered fully. And he said at the time, he said, I believe there was a higher power that saved me. So yeah. The saying is, Rakhe Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke. If Krishna wants to protect us, no one can kill us. And when it's our time to go, when Krishna's got us marked, we have to die. No one can save us. Nothing can withstand Krishna's time factor, not even spiritual movements. This ISKCON movement or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is completely on the spiritual platform. It's for taking us to the land beyond time. But it's operating within Kali Yuga. And after 10,000 years, the influence of this movement will be completely gone. By the influence of time, spiritual consciousness decreases, as we learn from Bhagavad Gita, evang parampara praptam imang raja shayo viduhu, sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. Krishna says, in this way, Krishna says how he spoke the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita many millions of years ago to Vivasvan, who spoke it to Manu, who spoke it to Ikshvaku. And in this way, Krishna says, by succession, by a chain of spiritual teachers, this knowledge was passed down. But in course of time, sakaleneha mahata, by the mighty influence of time, or over a long period of time, yoga nashta. It literally means the process of yoga was destroyed. Of course, it never destroyed, but it became as if destroyed. It became lost to the human society. So everything within this material world is subject to destruction. Spiritual consciousness, spiritual knowledge is not subject to destruction, but the dissemination of it, the manifestation of it, becomes less and less over time, because it's the nature of this world that everything decays. More about that later. We have from Bhagavatam, especially in Kali Yuga, tatascanu dinam dharma satyam socham shamadaya kalena balina raja nangshantyayor balang smritihi. Especially in this Kali Yuga, with the passing of every day, dharma, religiousness, spirituality, decreases. Dharma, satyam, truthfulness, decreases. Cleanliness decreases. Tolerance decreases. Compassion decreases. Kalena balina rajan, by the powerful, O king, Sukadev says to Parikshit, by the powerful influence of time, all of these decrease, as do mental power, memory, and physical power. Reading from Canto 10, Chapter 16, Text 41 of Bhagavatam, the Naga Patni to Krishna. Kalaya Kala Nabhaya Kala Vayava Sakshine Vishvaya Tad Upadrashte Katra Tad Katre Vishvahetave. They offer obeisances to Krishna, who is time himself, the shelter of time, and the witness of time in all its phases. You are the universe and also its separate observer. You are its creator and also the totality of all its causes. From the purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing in different incarnations, can never be limited by time, since he is time itself, the shelter of time, and the witness of time in all its phases. So that more or less sums up that matter. Now I'm going to go on to another topic within the general topic of time. Perception of time by the mind. What is time? How do we perceive it? Reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, 22, Text 45. Although the illumination of a lamp consists of innumerable rays of light undergoing constant creation, transformation, and destruction, a person with illusory intelligence who sees the light for a moment will speak falsely, saying, "This is the light of the lamp." As one observes a flowing river, ever new water passes by and goes far away, yet a foolish person, observing one point in the river, falsely states, "This is the water of the river." Very philosophical statement. If we say, "Oh, this is the light of the lamp," yeah, everyone will say it's conventionally said, but it's not a scientific statement, because when you say "this it's not a constant phenomenon. The light of the lamp is not actually one light, but it is a conglomeration of points of light, which, or rays of light, undergoing creation, transfer, they're coming into being, last for a very short time, and again are destroyed. The same thing, there's that saying that goes back to ancient Greece, you can't step in the same river, ancient Greek philosophers, you can't step in the same river twice. The Bhagavatam says the same thing. It's different water, so you can't say it's the same river. Conventionally, you can. So what is time? That's the big question. What is time? And how do we... It's something that we perceive. I'll get through to that a little later, how Augustine comes to the conclusion that time objectively doesn't exist because it's just something we perceive in the mind. All very well for philosophers to say that, but philosophically you may say that. But what is time? Time is the thing that's measured by clocks, right? Well, you can call that physical time or objective time, but we also have the what we call the body clock, the circadian rhythm of any body, which is regulated by sunlight and then darkness. In societies which live according to the rising and setting of the sun, which is not many societies around the world nowadays because of electrical light. But then there's something different from what we can call physical time or objective time and biological time, that's psychological time, in which we feel things going quickly when we're enjoying something and very slowly when we're suffering or we're feeling bored. Myself sitting in classes in school, just when is this going to end? When is it going to end? It just seems like it's going to drag on forever and ever and ever. Why is that? Psychologists, some they suggest that, well, when you're enjoying something, you're not thinking about it. And then when you don't think about it, time seems to pass faster. Whereas if you're thinking about it, you're concentrating on it, so then it takes longer. Anyway, whatever. There's a saying, maybe you've seen live or videos of bucking broncos, where a man jumps on the back of a horse without any saddle and tries to stay on while the horse is bucking. The horse is doing its best to throw the person off. If you can stay on for 8 seconds, that's considered you did it. Or a bull that's trying to throw you off. The longest 8 seconds of your life when you're on the back of a bucking bronco. Time feels long when you suffer and short when you enjoy. So that can be called psychological time. So there's physical time, which a physicist measures in terms of movement, the rate of change of a position or of an object in relation to another object. And this physical time is by what we measure time, and then we can organize our lives according to time. I'll give you a call tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. We can organize our life that way. If we just say, well, when I'm feeling time is going quickly and I'm feeling good, then I'll give you a call. that's not very useful for organizing. Trains are supposed to run on time. You have to calculate the time it will take for you to get to the station so you're not there late. And then when you're waiting for the train and it's late, and time drags on. However, psychological time, that's studied by psychologists. Physicists study physical time, and psychologists study the nature of human experience in relation to time. Of course, not all psychologists study that. Psychology, much of psychology in the last 20 years or so, has shifted over to neuropsychology. That's a dominant field in psychology at the present time. I speak as a layman. I have no pretensions to being anything anywhere near an expert. But what we learn from neuropsychologists is that the human brain, and probably any brain, especially of the higher animals, what we call the more intelligent animals, we're not sure about that, but the human brain can track time. And there's a certain region of the brain which is responsible for tracking time and how the body reacts according to our daily rhythm, which is why it is important to have a regulated life, to sleep pretty much at the same time every day, to rise every time the same day, to eat at the same time, to regulate our lives. It's very good for physical health, mental health, and in this way, it's good for practicing spiritual life also. However, there are things which can be done, for instance, putting an electric, mild electric current on certain, to affect a certain part of the brain. And drugs, they can also affect time perception. There are chemicals taken through drugs that excite the neurons in the suprachiasmatic nuclei of the brain, which deals with time perception. So when that gets excited, then time seems to go faster. But if you can slow down that neuron firing, it seems to slow down time perception. And then there are people who, I saw someone reported on the influence of some psychotropic drug, mescaline or something. They were passing, they just went to pass urine and they felt like it was going on for days and days and days. Anyway, the point to be taken from this is that time seems to speed up when we're having a good time, or slow down. When time seems to speed up, the brain is more, this is according to neuroscience. I'm not arguing with it. I have no reason to argue with it. When the brain consciously observes more things going on, when our awareness is heightened, and things seem to go very fast. So the saying is, time flies when you're having a good time, when you're enjoying yourself. Even in various states of consciousness, when we're asleep, at least I have the experience. I often wake up and in the middle of the night, and I can only guess at the time. I don't know how long I've been sleeping. I can guess at it, but I might be quite wrong. Sometimes I wake up and I feel quite awake and I think, oh, it must be time to get up. But then I look at the watch and I see, no, it's 2 hours ahead of my normal waking time. So I could get up, I feel awake, but I know then later I'll feel very tired. So I better try to get back to sleep again, just to keep the body operating properly. When we're awake, when we're in a daydream, that's also awake, but we can just lose track of events and time all around us when we're daydreaming. Then there are various levels of sleep, light sleep, deep sleep. When one sleeps very deeply, one's experience is such that one may think a long time has passed. I remember I had this experience once as a kid, must have been about 15 years old. I sat down after school to read a book, and then I didn't know, I just passed out asleep. And then I woke up, I had the experience of very deeply sleeping, and I thought, oh, I must have been here all night. It was only half an hour. Same thing when one is under the influence of anesthetics, anesthetized, or in a coma. You just don't, you have no consciousness of time, and when you awake out of it, if you awake out of the coma, you don't know how long you've been in it. A dream of 5 minutes can seem like years. It's all going on in the brain, is it? Time seems to slow down, not only when you're having a good time, but in an emergency or some very dangerous situation. And again, because the brain is very alert and you're consciously perceptive of all kinds of things going on around you. And then vivid memories are generated, the part of the brain that generates memories. If you had a very vivid experience, you're just walking on the road, and all of a sudden, around the corner comes a car coming far too fast. You just jump out of the way. It's something you're going to remember. Whereas, it can be. I saw a talk by a professor of philosophy. He said that he was speaking to his class, and he said that every day I drive from my home to the university, and again this morning I drove, I can't remember anything. It's a 20-minute drive, so I must have stopped at the stoplight, started again, and negotiated my way along the road. He said, I can't remember it at all. It's so clockwork, so mechanical. He cannot remember, even though he just did it this morning. So, time lost, driving. That's also why, psychologists suggest, why older people seem to perceive time as moving faster than young people. We can probably all remember when I was 5 years old, I couldn't imagine what it was like to be 10 years old. I thought, oh, it's so old. Phew, such a long time. But now I'm 66 years old, and I might make it through to 70. The time doesn't seem to, doesn't seem to take so much time. Thinking that, yeah, I have to work on this, I have to work on that, and yeah, maybe in another year I'll still be working on the same book. Psychologists suggest that the brain forms more memories of new experiences than of familiar ones, just like our philosophy professor driving to the university. He doesn't remember it because he's done it so many times the brain doesn't record it. Maybe deeply in the subconscious, but not in the immediately available memory. That's why some psychologists recommend that older people, in order to feel life as fresh and not feel that just that they're just quickly, paradoxically, their life is so boring and so routine, but their lifespan, they just seem to be rushing ahead, or just like time seems to just go like that. Do something new. Try doing something new, they recommend. Then it will seem that your life is speeded up. You'll feel young again if you do new things. So the psychological time of an older person is faster relative to physical time. Time seems to gradually speed up. Yeah, when you're very young, 5 years old, a year seems like, oh, very long time. Because if you're 4 years old, then a year is only 25% of your conscious experience. At age 40, a year is only 2.5% of one's conscious experience. And so a year seems to be less. Anyway, whatever age we are, we're all rushing towards death. And then there are psychologists who also study mental states. When someone is deeply in meditation and persons who experience what they call samadhi, they feel as if they've completely transcended time, because psychological time comes to a stop when one is no longer aware of anything around oneself. One is conscious, but not conscious of anything specific. And so time seems to completely stop. Then comes the question, if physical time and psychological time are two different kinds of time, then when we ask the question, what is time? What is it? Is it something that is experienced? Is it dependent on our experience? Or is it something which is innate in the universe? These are the kind of things that philosophers discuss. Now you may think, well, I'm getting out on a lot of secular stuff. Okay, let's get back to the Vedic Shastra. And how the Vedic Shastra tackles questions or gives answers to kind of questions like this, time dilation. We hear about the extent of Brahma's life, even one day of Brahma, Sahasra Yoga Paryantam Ahayad Brahmano Viduhu. Learned persons say that the extent of one day of Brahma is 1,000 ages. Taken together, that's Kali Yuga, Dwarapa Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga, all taken together times 1,000 makes one day of Brahma. But the whole of Brahma's life is only one period of Mahavishnu, and it's hard for us even to begin to conceive of. We can get some contextualization from the narration of Markandeya Rishi, who survived the destruction in the day of Brahma. Markandeya Rishi prayed to Nara Narayana, and Nara Narayana offered Markandeya Rishi a boon. What do you want? He asked for something quite unusual. He said, I want to see your illusory energy. And the Supreme Lord, in the form of Nara Narayan, said, Tathastu, so be it, you can. then left for Badarik Ashram. And Markandeya Rishi was in his own ashram. Life was going on as usual. Day after day, he'd follow his daily routine of spiritual practices. But one day, as he was offering his evening prayers, the flood of devastation of the whole universe suddenly entered and then swept Markandeya away. Normally that would kill everyone, much more than any tsunami. And he found himself, Markandeya, alone on the huge waters of devastation, just floating in that water and struggling. And this went on for eons and eons. We're not talking about a few days, but millions of years he was struggling in that water, until eventually he came all alone in the water. And eventually, after an immensely long time, unimaginable time, he came to a little island in which there was a banyan tree. And upon a leaf of that tree was a little baby boy on the leaf of the tree, glowing, looking so beautiful. Markandeya moved toward the leaf to see the child, and he felt himself sucked by the boy's inward breathing. He was sucked into the body like a mosquito. Sometimes you inadvertently, if there are many mosquitoes flying around, you inadvertently take one in your mouth. So Markandeya was like that. And Markandeya entered right within the body of that boy, and he saw the entire universe just as it had been before the annihilation. Everything was going on the same. And then he was again thrown out of the body by the child's exhalation and hurled back onto that ocean of annihilation. Ah, back again here. Then he saw, Markandeya saw, that the child on the leaf was actually Sri Hari, the transcendental Lord who is situated in his own heart. Markandeya tried to embrace that boy, but at that moment, Lord Hari, the master of all mystic power, just disappeared. Then the waters of annihilation disappeared, and Sri Markandeya found himself in his own ashram just as before. And did it actually happen or did it not? It didn't make any difference because he was in the same situation. He had seen the Lord's illusory energy. If you ever get the Supreme Lord asking you directly for a benediction, please don't ask to see the illusory energy. We're seeing it enough, far too much as it is anyway. Time dilation. Lord Krishna speaks to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam about the gopis who spent the nights with Krishna dancing in the land of Vrindavan. Krishna was their most dearly beloved, and by Krishna's mystic potency, every night that Krishna danced with the gopis was as long as a night of Brahma, but to the gopis, Krishna says, it seemed to pass in less than a moment. But then when Krishna went away from Vrindavan, Krishna tells Uddhava that being bereft of his association, Krishna's association, the gopis felt that those same nights dragged on forever as if each night were equal to a day of Brahma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu famously prays yugayitam nimeshena, that a moment seems to me like a whole age, govinda virahename, in separation from Krishna. So that's psychological time, how we experience it in spiritual existence. That's there also, as we just learned from the Bhagavatam and from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement. But time is as it is. it's not subjective. Time is as it is. It's not subjective. That makes sense. That's right, isn't it? Well, yeah, that's what we experience. Newton, when he wanted to explain motion, had to first of all define what time is, and in what is now called classical mechanics or Newtonian mechanics, time is the same everywhere. Clocks everywhere are in agreement. However, Einstein threw a spanner in the works, or Einstein came up with a theory that time is relative. It depends on the frame of reference of an observer. Especially when one gets closer to the speed of light, the time between events becomes longer, and it is a scientifically accepted phenomenon that moving clocks run more slowly than stationary clocks. You won't notice hardly any difference if it's just a clock in your car compared to, or when the car's moving as compared to stationary, but there is a difference, and especially that becomes pronounced as you get closer to the speed of light. Clocks in jets, or if you go in these space modules orbiting the Earth, they call it space, but it's not really that much up. Their time goes more slowly than those on Earth, which is very important to know and to make allowances for when you have to put space module space stations in orbit and bring people back from space stations. You have to synchronize everything, and you have to understand that time is moving at a different time. Here's a quote from Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 10, Text 11. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Time is not subject to any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences." Ooh! Ooh! What a statement. Time is not subject to any form of psychology. Well, it appears to. What is Prabhupada saying then? That the time, the moments of time are objective realities in themselves. But then he says, no, they're not. But then he says, moments are dependent on particular experiences, which again makes it seem that it's, that time is subject to a form of psychology. How do we reconcile all this? Again, we have to understand that time is, we can try and see time and understand time and observe time and perceive time and try and work out what time is, but time is ultimately a factor in the Supreme Personality of Godhead's creation. And it has a factor in the material creation, of course, in creation, maintenance, destruction, change, experience, and in spiritual experiences, it facilitates pastimes of Krishna. But it's not something that we as humans can precisely define or even understand. Talking about time dilation or different experiences of time, in about 20 minutes of Lord Brahma's time, which is about 120 million human years, it will be noon on the day after his 50th birthday. But within that time, 18,500,000 Kali Yugas will have passed. So if you think Kali Yuga is bad, it is bad, but it's by no means the first one. There are several instances recorded in the Puranas where a person is transported from the human worlds to the higher worlds. And it just seemed experientially, it seemed that they were in the higher worlds for a short time. But when they returned, millions of years had come and gone, which, although people may say the Puranas are just some mythical stories, but this all fits very well with what Einstein has revealed to us in terms of the relative nature of time. King Kakudmi is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam when he went to the planet of Lord Brahma from this earth. Kushastali, it begins, this narration in the Bhagavad Puran describes about Kushastali. The residents of the kingdom were descendants of the lower, of the Solar dynasty. They were human, but they had mystic powers, which was much more common in previous ages. The king of Kushastali was Kakudmi. And so he was able, or he was allowed to travel to the world of Brahma and experience Brahma's perception of time. So it's described there that Kakudmi's daughter was Revati, and Kakudmi wanted to get a suitable husband for her. But he couldn't decide, or he couldn't find anyone, so he thought, I'll go and ask Lord Brahma. He was such a pious king. He could visit Brahma. So it's Revata, another name. He constructed this kingdom of Kushastali. It was a submarine kingdom in the ocean. And he ruled from their lands around there, Anarta. This is now what is Saurashtra, Gujarat. He had 100 sons, of whom the eldest was Kakudmi, and Kakudmi's daughter was Revati. And then he took Revati to Brahma Loka and inquired from Brahma about a husband for her. When Kakudmi arrived, Lord Brahma was engaged in hearing. There was a musical performance going on in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead was being praised. Therefore, Kakudmi waited. And after the musical performance was over, he offered obeisance to Lord Brahma and submitted to him, please tell me, who should I offer my daughter to for marriage? Then Lord Brahma simply laughed and sent to Kakudmi, all those persons you were thinking about as possible suitors for your daughter, they've all passed away. 27 Chatur Yugas have passed. Those who you thought about as possible sons-in-law, they're gone. So their sons and their grandsons, you can't even hear about their names. What is a Chatur Yuga? 4,320,000 earth years. So 27 such cycles would be 116,640,000 years. 1 second of Brahma is equal to 100,000 earth years. And Kakudmi had been waiting 19 minutes and 26 seconds, but that was equal to 27 Chatur Yugas. Whew. Krishna is time. Krishna is not under the influence of time. Time is described in the Shastras. It has been investigated by philosophers and scientists over thousands of years. It's very, very difficult to understand what it is. In the next section or next discussion on this topic of time under Vishnu Sahasranam, the name Sanat, I want to get into modern scientific, philosophical speculations about the nature of time. I've already done that, but get into it in some more detail. In the meantime, offer my respects to all the Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasinubhyavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dante Nitaya Chunakang Padiyo Nipatya Kritvacha Karkushatam Etat Aham Bravimi. Hey Sadhava Sakala Eva Vyayadurad Gauranga Chandra Charne Kurutanu Raga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukarona vayang vicharyamaha Hari rasa madhirama dati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Baha pirang natavaravapu Karneo karnikaram bibradvasa kanaka kapishang vajayantin chamalam Randran, Venur, Adhara Sudaya, Purayam Gopa Vrindair, Vrindaranyam Svapada Ramanam Pravishagita Kirtihi, Sri Radhaya, Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayai Vasvadyo Yenad Bhuta Madhuri Ma Kidrisho Vamadiyaha, Sokhyang Chazyamad Anubhavata Kidrishang Veti Lobhat, Tadbhavardya Samajanisha Chigarbha Sindho, Harindu Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.